Aren't you glad that we don't just come together to have a service, but we come together to have church? That we come together to worship the living God? It's not an empty ceremony or a ritual that we go through, but it is an encounter with the power of the living God, an encounter with His love, His divine love, His unconditional love. I'm so thankful to be in God's house today. And today we're going to look back. I'm going to finish up my interrupted series on Jehoshaphat. And it's so powerful today because the worship today just so coincides with the powerful message that God has, I believe, for this church today and for those watching online. And it's about praise. How many know that there's power in praise? It's not just praise, but it's powerful praise. Where do we praise Him the most powerfully? Where would we expect that to be done? In the midst of victory, of course. But can I tell you also that there is powerful praise in the valley of fear, in the valley of despair, in the valley of disappointment, in the valley of wounds and hurts and broken spirits? It's at those times that God would have us even more so to give the fruit of our lips the praise due to His name because of who He is. You know, in Colossians chapter, the last chapter, says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You know, what does that mean? That means that we don't stop praying when things get tough. We don't stop praying when we've been disappointed. We don't stop praying when we don't get our way. We don't stop praying when we're devastated by some news, whether it's your health or whether it be anything else. But I'm telling you today, but he goes on to say, give thanks in every circumstance. Not for every circumstance, although there is praise because God will do the Romans 8:28 and bring about good when the enemy meant it for evil, for those who love Him and are called according to His name. But give thanks in every circumstance. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in, you give God praise. For this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Do not extinguish the power of the Holy Spirit within you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And so, you know, you say, Pastor, how can you possibly muster up the whatever it takes within you to praise Him when your heart is broken, when you are devastated, when you are disappointed, when you don't know if there's going to be a future for you or not? I can tell you that this COVID, my son-in-law in North Dakota, pastors there, you've heard him preach a number of times over the years, Mark, he had to fly down to Arizona the week we were on our vacation in Door County. On that Monday, he flew out that morning to help his mother, who sold her house and had to be out the next day, or that same day that he flew in. And she had sold her house. They were expecting to go back to Ohio. So they were leaving, you know, trying to get, she had COVID in the midst of, during that time, and she was recovering, still not well. Her husband, my son-in-law's father, ended up, he had leukemia, just had his stem cell transplant, and he was expected to go back to Ohio and kind of finish up treatment on it. He had a good prognosis. And then he got COVID, and he ended up in the hospital for several weeks. And my son-in-law flew down hoping to see him before he died, if he was going to die, and he did indeed. The funeral was on Friday. You know what's so exciting is there was a picture my son-in-law posted of his father, who was like a generational alcoholic. Aren't you glad God saves? Aren't you glad God, He by His anointing, breaks the yoke of generational sins? By His power, He does that. And my daughter's father-in-law, picture of him being baptized after he had given his life to Jesus, and he had been in an Assembly of God church down in Arizona and also Ohio in counseling with the pastor because he wanted to make sure his heart was right with God. So Friday's, what the enemy intended for evil, was a celebration of what God had done good. God had saved, and now he's in heaven with the Lord. And it's awesome news. It's just awesome news. There's power in the midst of trouble. And so in the midst of every circumstance you find yourself in, give God praise. Give Him thanks because He's a good God. I don't know if there's anyone here. I doubt there's anyone here in this worship center or anybody who's watching online. By the way, we welcome you here. We're glad you're watching. Who has not been able to say, who has been able to say, I should say, that they've never faced a crisis or a challenge. They've never faced a horrible time in the valley of despair or valley of fear. Maybe have bigger problems than others, but every single one of us have had to face difficulty in this life. And all of us also had to find a way to navigate through some difficult and confusing waters. And I can tell you this, that one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit to the people of God, the heirs of salvation, is that He will lead us and He will guide us into all truth. So when we're trying to navigate through a terrible situation, you call on the name of the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you through that situation. He will give you wisdom that you didn't think possible for you to possess. He will give you knowledge that you didn't learn from a book, unless it's the Word of God. But He will ignite your spirit to hear the Word of the Lord and anoint you to understand and to hear the Word of the Lord. Now, some people go through, as we said, financial trouble, relationship challenges, family trouble, etc. But there's a pattern that we see in the Scriptures of the proper response to these dark valley experiences in order for us, which is God's will for us, the people of God, to experience victory through the Lord's help. He will lead us into triumph over every situation that the enemy meant for your defeat. This is the kind of God we serve. We can fully trust Him. We can fully trust that the Lord will never abandon us, that He will never leave us, never forsake us in the midst of every trouble. I remember when I first came here, the first year I was here, there was a crisis in one of our families. They're sitting right back there, and I know Larry and Rose have shared their story many times. It seemed like there was just no solution. It was terrible. There was weeping and crying and calling out to God. But God, Romans 8:28, turned that situation around. That son is now doing ministry. I mean, to tell you, God is faithful, that when we cry out to Him, when we praise Him in the valley, that God will raise us up. And I can tell you something else that God is a prayer-answering God. That when you pray, He hears. And there's sometimes He doesn't answer in our timeline, on our calendar, but God knows what He is doing. I know this from experience. And we should have known it from the Word of God, but sometimes we get discouraged when we don't see the answers to prayer immediately. But God does answer prayer. Somebody say amen. We can experience the Lord's victory in every circumstance if we approach it with the attitude of Christ that He would intend for us to do. In our text today out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we find this is also true in the life of King Jehoshaphat. He was the king of Judah at this time, and he had been blessed. God had really blessed him. Why did He bless him? Because Jehoshaphat's heart was knit to God's heart. He wanted to set his life apart. He wanted to have the reputation of King David, the gold standard of kings. And I believe that is true because he did everything he could to prove his love for God and to honor God. He was blessed with God's favor. He was a popular king. He had the respect and the fear of other nations, and he was prosperous. And Judah, the kingdom of Judah, that southern kingdom, was prosperous under his reign. God blessed him in an incredible way. And remember, he was a king also that tore down the idols, the Asherah poles and the other idols in the nation. He even did this as a reminder, is he deposed the queen grandmother. His own grandmother, who was the queen grandmother of the nation, because she would not repent and tear down her Asherah pole. So he did it for her, and then he removed her from office. Even though he was a good king, he still made bad decisions. You know, I find that encouraging because God has cleansed our hearts by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has removed our sins through the blood of the cross, as far as the east is from the west, from us when we repented and were born again. But, you know, as much as we want, to be good all the time, we still are fighting that old sin nature. And sometimes we make bad choices. But I'm so thankful, listen to me, for a God who gives us another chance, that he will cleanse us and he will wash us and he will help us to get back up on our feet. And then we move on and we keep going, and then we're going to mess up again. But God still honors that covenant relationship with us when we accepted Christ as Savior. Isn't that good news? God doesn't give up on us. There's going to come a day that the scriptures say we'll see Jesus Christ face to face. We'll see him in the air just as he is. And it says there in the Word of God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, is that when we will like him, we'll be like him when we see him as he is. In our text today, though, Jehoshaphat is going to face off with an incredible crisis. You know, what happens after our last meeting together, remember Jehoshaphat made a terrible decision. He allied himself in an army with Israel, the northern kingdom, to go against another nation. And when he did that, Aram, when he did that, God wasn't in it. You know, sometimes we have our idea of this is a good idea. See? Anybody ever do that? And then what do we fail to do? We fail to really pray and ask God, God, is this my idea? Is this your idea? Is this a good idea or a bad idea? God, are you going to bless if I do this? Or are you going to remove your hand of blessing because this is not your will? He made an alliance with, a military alliance with a wicked, evil king that God was going to judge. Ahab, one of the most wicked kings in Israel. And he did this because his son was married his daughter, relations. Can I tell you, the lesson there, as we talked about, is be careful who you get into agreement with. Don't come into agreement with someone who does not share your biblical values. And even then, be careful and pray about what you do, because there have been even Christians with Christians who have allied together who got burned by one another because of that old sin problem that we have. But these three nations that came against him now came against him because I believe that they were emboldened. Whereas before, the other nations were fearful of Jehoshaphat because of his armies and his power, and it was clear to see the blessing of God. Well, he came running from, barely saved his life in that battle with Ahab against Aram, and he barely got out alive. He cried out to God when he was surely going to die, and God rescued him when he cried out to God. Now, that's another thing to praise God about, is sometimes we do things to ourselves to create a crisis in our life, and it's our own fault. And God could say, you made your bed, lay in it. That's human wisdom. But when we cry out to God and ask him, God, help! You know what God does? He helps. He helps. Because we are his children. He helps us. Ever done that? I've never, once in my life, with my children, you know, my daughter, second youngest daughter, there was a time that she was out on the monkey bars with the pastor's daughter. I was just an elder in the church, and the pastor's daughter was out there egging her on, you know, I wasn't even an elder then. I was, you know, just a Sunday school teacher at the Assembly of God, and she was a little older than my daughter, and my daughter didn't have the strength to be on the bars up there, but she did, and she was like, oh, come on, you can do it. Well, she got up there and did it. I could hear it through the bathroom window. It was right outside the bathroom window, and I thought, trouble's coming, and about that time, I heard this plop on the ground and this scream, and you can tell when your kids are really hurt or if they're just crying because they're a little bit hurt, right? This was a really bad hurt, and what she had done, she broke her collarbone, and so we had to take her to the ER, and she had to get that set, and she's crying, and she's distraught, and the pastor's daughter is all upset too, you know, so, and so we heard that plump, and it was bad news. Now, I could have said out the bathroom, get up and rub some dirt on it. You knew you shouldn't have been up there. What do you think you're doing, taking a dare? Just get over it. You did it to yourself. Now, that would be cruel. Actually, it'd be abuse, wouldn't it? Now, God is a better father than I am. How many know that's true? If my daughters were here, they'd say, oh, yeah, amen. They'd be up shouting. He's a much better dad. He would never do that to us. Sometimes we have to learn our lessons and go through the difficulty that we have, you know, the oats that we had sown. But here's the thing. God is going to be with us. He is going to provide guidance out of that situation, and he's going to comfort us and help us. This is the character of God. He is good and merciful, and that is a part of his innate character. He cannot be anything but good or merciful, because that is who he is. He is immutable, unchangeable. He will always be that way. He will always love you. Even when you screw up, he still loves you. And his arms, listen to me, are still open to you no matter how far away from him you go. I found that out from the Word of God, but I really found it out by experience when I backslid when I was young. Now, I'm telling you, this is the kind of God we serve. And so when we are facing trouble, like Jehoshaphat, he had a problem. And when this problem came to him, he panicked because he knew that he did not have the powerful army that he used to have to protect his nation, his people, from their enemies. And I think he also must have known that, look, they used to be afraid of me, but I lost the last war. I barely escaped with my life, so that emboldened them to come after me. He had a problem to deal with, and he had panic that he had to overcome. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 3a, it says this, after the armies of the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some of the Menites declared war on Jehoshaphat, the messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazon Tamar. This was another name for En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat, what does it say? He was terrified by this news, and he begged the Lord for guidance. He begged the Lord for guidance. Now, Wednesday night, Pastor Dennis Schmidt has been teaching on living with thorns, or living, you know, navigating through thorns that come into your life. And we talked about a fear sometimes that overtakes us. Sometimes we're terrified, but you know, it's a time that when we're terrified, when we're fearful, sometimes that's a healthy thing to be afraid of the reality of what is, but it's also something that the enemy wants you to cross the line into terror, where you are terrorized on the inside and your mind cannot find peace and can't even think long enough to pray because you're so excited and you're so terrified. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news, and what did he do? He went, he did the right thing. He begged the Lord for help, for guidance. God, how do I get myself out of this mess that I probably created for myself? Somebody says, well, he should be ashamed to pray because he did it himself. No, it's a time like that that we need to go to God and tell him that I need your help. I screwed up again, God. I need your help. And God responds. I can tell you that they were facing incredibly overwhelming odds that had come against Judah. They faced three armies, not one, but three armies who had come together against them. These were, and interestingly enough, Moab they were ones that Israel had spared years and years earlier, generations earlier, when they came into the Promised Land. They were ready to go over and do war against them, and God says, no, they're your brothers. You know, they're from the seed of Abraham. You know, you need to, you know, leave them alone. And so they went away and left. Now they're coming back to repay them. That's one of the things Jehoshaphat prayed to God. The ones that our people in generations earlier, our fathers, you said, don't attack them because you're brothers. This is how they repay us. Have you ever done a good deed or something good for somebody, even a relative, and they years later paid you back with trouble? Have you ever been betrayed like that? I have. You know what? It happens. But you know what? God can help us during those times. Fear and panic was in the camp of the Lord. People were afraid. They were afraid for their life, afraid for their nation, afraid of being killed and having their wives and their children taken off as captives, as slaves, afraid that they were going to lose all of their wealth that God had blessed them with. You know what the enemy is? He's a thief, a liar, he's a robber, he's a destroyer, he's a murderer. That's all he is, his character is. And so they had good reason to be afraid. The enemy can use that fear that should be a natural protective mechanism inside of us to warn us that there's danger about, to terrorize us and cause us to fear. But that fear can also cause us, and should cause us as the people of God, is to call on the name of the Lord. Now remember, Jesus said in John chapter 16, 33, this is one of those verses that most people don't want to put on their refrigerator or tape to their bathroom mirror to memorize, but it's something that we really should do, right? Because Jesus said, I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. Here on earth, this is what I'm telling you, you will, say will, it doesn't say maybe, he says you will have many, say many, trials or testings, or one translation says troubles. You'll have sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Take heart. Be of good courage, one translation says. You know, the fact of the matter, Jesus said there's good news, there's bad news, good news. Bad news is you're going to have trouble. In fact, you're going to have a lot of trouble. In fact, you're going to have time where you're just going to be sorrowful because of the trouble that you have. But listen to me, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. It's okay because I'm going to be with you. It's okay because I understand, because I've had trouble since I've been in this world. And I'm going to be with you. And he's an ever-present help in a time of need. Whatever you are going through, whether here in this worship center or watching online, is there is a God who cares about you and a God who wants to save you and rescue you when you respond to him and call out to him. 1 Peter chapter 5, 8, 9a says this, stay alert. Peter says, stay alert. And one translation says, be sober. Wake up, be alert, be serious. Watch out. Be careful for your enemy, your great enemy, not just an enemy, but a great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion. He's looking for someone to devour. So therefore, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. You know, that's the good news, bad news again, isn't it? Stay alert, watch, pay attention. Why? Because you can be blindsided by the enemy's tactics and strategies against you. If you're not careful, if you're not watching, if you're not praying, if you're not asking, like I have asked God for almost 20 years since I've come to this church, God, show me the strategies and the snares that the enemy has laid out for me and the leaders of this church that's going to defray and delay or destroy the plans and the future you have for us. Show me before we step in the snare and it's too late. Expose them to us, oh God. And you know what? For 19 going on 20 years, God has been faithful to do that. Has there been trouble sometimes? Has there been disappointments? Oh, absolutely. But every single time, God has rescued, he has saved us, he has honored that prayer. Somebody say, amen. And I'm telling you, as families and heads of households, pray that prayer. Ask God to help you. Ask God to show you. Ask God to reveal to you. Ask him to expose the enemy's strategies laid out against you and your family so that you can be alert and you can pray and you can stand firm against him and be strong in your faith, because the enemy hates it. Hates it. Despises it more than anything else when a believer stands up and stands firm against him and stands in their faith in Christ and understands the authority that they have in the name of Jesus Christ to come against him. He has to turn tail and run with his tail between his legs. Amen. So, second point, there was problem and panic in the camp of the people of God, but there's also prayer and prophecy. Aren't you glad that there is prayer? Aren't you glad that there's the prophetic word of the Lord, the written word, but there's also the prophetic word of the Lord? And here we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 3b and through actually 21, we're not going to read every verse, but here there's prayer and prophecy. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. This is Jehoshaphat. He took steps, okay? He cried out to the Lord in his terror, in the midst of the circumstances that he found himself in, that he was blindsided by, that he knew that in his own power, with his own strength, with his own armies, there was no hope. But in God, there's always hope. You can be outnumbered, outgunned. You can be outsmarted. But God makes a majority. God makes up the difference. And I'm telling you, that's Jehoshaphat was counting on that. He was presuming on that. And you can tell by his prayer when he's talking to the Lord that he reminds the Lord, even though God does not have a bad memory, but he reminded the Lord for his own sake and for the people's sake to hear what God had done before. He ordered Judah, everyone in Judah, you begin to fast in sackcloth and ashes. You cry out to the Lord in humility. And so the people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Why Jerusalem? Why did they all go there? Couldn't they just pray in their kneeling at their bed, kneeling at their lazy boy? No. In the Old Testament, Jerusalem was the city of God, the city of David. In Jerusalem, God had chosen for the people of God to build a temple where he would place his name, his character, who he is. He would place his name there. In Jerusalem was the place, the proper place to worship. And so they came to Jerusalem to be at the temple of the Lord, so fasting and praying, not feasting this time, but fasting and praying. They came to Jerusalem to do what? To seek the Lord's help. Can I tell you in the New Testament that the temple of the Holy Ghost is our bodies when we receive Christ? We can call on God. We can kneel at the stump of a tree. We can kneel by the waters. We can kneel by a river. We can kneel in the river. Sometimes we're in hot water. We can kneel in hot water. And we can cry out to God, the God of covenant, who saves us, who helps us, who answers prayer, who delivers us, who rescues us. Even from our own calamity, God will do that. And so they were calling everyone, you come, but in this, you come to Jerusalem. And so it says in verse 5, it's not up here, but Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord, and he prayed. Say he prayed. He prayed. He prayed out loud, unashamedly. He prayed out loud so all the people could hear. And all the angels in heaven could hear his prayer as they were watching and looking over the balcony of heaven, I believe, to see what God would do to save his people. And he prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, God of our fathers, you alone are the God who is in heaven. There's no other God but you. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. Isn't that some of the songs, the theme of the songs we were singing today? The enemy's been defeated. Amen? Still good medicine for us. 2 Chronicles 27 says this, Our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land, this very land where this temple is, when your people Israel arrived here from slavery? And did you not give this land forever, say forever, to the descendants of your friend Abraham? By the way, the land of Israel that they is there currently and the land that they still don't possess, it still belongs to the people of God. Doesn't matter what politicians say. Doesn't matter what the armies of the enemy say. God doesn't go back on his word. And he reminds God, you said it was forever, and now there's an enemy standing out here. What is he alluding to? He says, your people settled here and they built this temple to honor your name, to honor you. We built this house of God to honor the name of God. And we honor him still to this day. We honor the people of God who sacrificed and gave to make this a possibility. Just as Israel sacrificed and gave to build the temple of the Lord, to honor the name of the Lord. I look around this place oftentimes and I walk into this worship center and sometimes I just feel a rush of the Holy Spirit. If I'm in here all by myself, lights are off, I flip the lights on and I look up and I look around. And I remember the faithfulness of God to provide and the people of God to sacrifice. And I think here, as he's doing this, he's remembering. He's at the temple. He's remembering. Enemies at the gate. They want to steal and destroy this place. But, oh God, we built it to honor your name. And they said, who's they? It was God and the generations that followed to this day said that when Solomon dedicated the temple to the Lord, that whenever you are faced, we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in the presence, in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. And we can cry out to you to save us. And you will hear us, but not just hear us, but you'll rescue us. Now, this man was called in the eternal scriptures, a good king. He made some boneheaded decisions. He'll make a boneheaded one after this victory is won. But he knew where to go in a time of trouble. He knew who to call on. He knew who had authority over every problem in his life, over every difficult thing. He says, we can come when we're faced with calamity, war, plague, or famine, and we can stand in your presence. Can I tell you today, wherever you are, whether here or watching online, that when you get in trouble, you can stand as the child of God, a covenant person, washed in the blood of Christ, stand before the presence of the Lord, and you can call on his name, and you can cry out to him to save you, and he will hear your prayer, and he will rescue you. There's principles of prayer that need to be understood. And in the principles of prayer taught by Jehoshaphat, what does he do? He comes to the Lord before the people of God and he rehearses the history of faith. Secondly, he remembers God's promises. And thirdly, he relied on God to do what he could not do. There are some battles that we don't have the ability to fight on our own. And there's always some Lone Ranger Christian who gets into trouble when they think they can handle everything all by themselves. And you know, God created us and saved us to be a family. And he calls us the army of God on the earth, the church of Jesus Christ, the blood-washed throng. And God wants us to understand something, that we need one another, especially in a time of trouble, in a time when we're hurting, that we need to come and we need to connect with the people of God, others who have been saved and share our like precious faith, that we need to come and get counsel sometimes, not just from the pastor or Pastor Nick or Pastor Mike or Pastor Diana, but we need to come to one another. You know, God wants us to help and encourage one another in a time of trouble. You know, there's sometimes, well, Pastor, I just don't know what to say when somebody's lost a loved one or done something. Well, you don't have to say anything. You just have to be there. You just have to show up. You just have to grieve with those who are grieving and rejoice with those who are rejoicing. You just have to connect. That's what church is really all about. It's not about a service. It's about connecting with the anointing and the power of a living God, but it's also connecting with one another who have been saved by the power of God. We need each other. If there's one thing the enemy intended and has had some success at with this coronavirus pandemic, it is to separate the people of God from one another, from connecting. And I call them out on it. And I just say that it's not biblical to be separated. Now, we need to be cautious, we need to be careful, but we also need to make sure that we're not kowtowing to the enemy, and that we're not living in fear and terror. The Spirit of the Lord is here. This is the house of healing. This is the house that preaches hope and victory over all the power of the enemy. And Jehoshaphat understood that we can cry out to you, he says, to save us, and you not only hear us, but you're going to do it, God. Now, Jehoshaphat was praying with faith, believing something that hasn't been seen yet, but he was believing it and he was presuming on it because he knew the character, the innate character of God. So what did he do? He rehearsed the history. Can I say that when I have problems, this is what I do. I do these things, and I didn't even see this listed here. I read this in a book, this, and I thought, that's good. That's a commentary on his prayer. And I thought, that's good, because I didn't articulate it that way, but that's what I do. How many know that the Holy Spirit is a teacher? He leads and guides us into truth. And when I get into trouble, you know, the older I get, and I'm getting old, the older I get is when I have problems and I get blindsided by something, you know what I do? I turn around and look back. And then I can see throughout my life of faith, my journey of faith, is that, oh, God, I was in big trouble back then. Yeah, I did that to myself, but God heard my prayer, and I got rescued. Oh, and then a couple years later, oh, this happened. Oh, I called on the name of the Lord, and he heard me, and he answered. Oh, a few years later, you know, you see a track record of God's faithfulness to not only hear your prayers, but to answer your prayers and deliver you. That's what David was doing. He was a man after God's own heart. King David, when he was just a shepherd boy, what was he doing out in the fields, in the hills of Judea, watching his father's sheep? And at night, there were strange sounds and bumps in the night, and there was real danger. He had to protect his father's sheep. He was very passionate about that. I'm going to protect my father's sheep. They are his. And there's a thief that comes in the night. It's a bear and a lion, and he says, I'm going to stand firm, and I'm going to fight. What was he doing? Where did he get the courage? I think he got it from remembering and rehearsing the history of God's faithfulness to his people, his covenant people. I think David out there with his harp was out there writing songs about the faithfulness of God throughout Israel's history. Lord, you called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. Lord, you called him to be the father of a nation, a covenant people that you would call your own, that you would make covenant with, that you would protect, that you would give this land to, that I am out here today. And it, my fathers inherited this land because you were faithful. And remember the battles in the past. Remember the deliverance from Egypt, the stories that every Jewish boy and girl understood and knew, told at their dinner table. And David rehearsed in his heart, and he sang with his mouth as his mind created these verses in the Psalms. And he rejoiced. Have you ever noticed in David's Psalms, and you read through the Psalms and the ones written by David, is that they start off mournful, sad, defeated, depressed, I don't know what to do. All the troubles here and the troubles there. And all of a sudden, about midway through, all of a sudden, he says, but the Lord, but God. And he begins to, his faith takes hold, and all of a sudden, it just bursts out of his heart onto the pages and out of his mouth to God. But God, you rescue those who call them. You know, one of the Psalms says, many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. David. Man after God's own heart. Listen to me. There's some spiritual laws in play here that were true back then in the hills of Judea, that were true throughout the ages of the Old Testament into the New Testament. They're true here in 20th century, 21st century, is that that still works. To call on the name of the Lord when you're in trouble. To begin to praise him for who he is. Begin to honor him in your heart. What happens is your spirit just begins, in your heart, faith begins to get stirred up. And you begin to believe the promises of God. Not only believe, you begin to remember the promises of God. And you begin to hold on and appropriate the promises of God. And this is exactly what Jehoshaphat does. He's praying publicly in front of the people so that the people can hear their king, their leader, their shepherd, calling out to God in a time of trouble. Now, he could have said to himself, well, if they see that I'm afraid, if they see that I'm disturbed, that I'm blindsided, then they're going to fear, so I better put on a bold face and act brave. No, he didn't do that. He came out and said, we need to fast, we need to pray, we need to call on the name of the Lord. I don't have the power to deliver you, but God does, and God will do it. He'll hear and answer prayer. He calls on the name of the Lord, and that prayer principle, he remembered the promises of God, reminding the people of the promises of God. He wasn't reminding God of his promises. God doesn't forget. He was reminding himself and then reminding God that I remember your promises. And then he relied on God to do what he could not do. There are some things you cannot do. You cannot heal yourself from cancer. You cannot heal yourself from COVID. You cannot heal yourself from any disease. But there is a God, there is a great healer who can, by the power of Christ, by the power of the stripes laid on his back, by his anointing, he can eradicate and he can heal anything. I have experienced his healing. My wife has experienced his healing. And I'm saying that we need to trust God no matter what. I would have trusted God even if he hadn't healed me, hadn't healed my wife. I would have still honored him and blessed him because he's good no matter what. But I'm telling you that he has the power to do the impossible, things that we don't have the power to do. Amen and amen, amen. Amen. And then he gave encouragement of the prophetic. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. He was a Levite. He was a priest, but he was also a prophet. And he prophesied, you know, God's going to do this. And he gave the word to the people of Israel, to the king and the people. There was an anointing in the atmosphere, and the anointing in the atmosphere released, unleashed the gift of prophecy through the prophet. Same happens today in the church. When there is worship and praise, it brings the manifest presence of God to a high, to where the power fills the room, and anything is possible when that happens. Anything is possible when that happens. God can do anything. Threefold admonition, fear not. The prophet said, word of the Lord comes. The battle's not yours, but it's God's. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Don't be afraid. The battle's not yours. I'll fight for you. And then he says this, stand still. Just stand still and watch. Just stand still and see what I will do. You know, God has a reputation, and he always lives up to his reputation. He always does what he says he will do, that I will do this. The dynamic is going to change. You're outnumbered. You're outgunned. You don't have the power, but my power and your weakness makes everything perfect. And thirdly, he says, this is what you're going to go out and face your enemy. You know, Pastor Dennis talking about fear. Everybody has fear. Somebody says, is fear a sin? It can be, if you give into it. But what do victorious people do? They're not a slave to fear or terror, but they're victorious because they push through the fear and the terror to do what is right, to fight. And God says, I don't want you to be, you've been afraid? I want you to go out and face your enemy. You're going to stand up against him. So what happens is the prophecy, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back now. The prophecy was received by faith. You know, we need to receive the word of the Lord by faith. Appropriate his promises. Verse number 17 says this, that Jehoshaphat, after this, he bowed his face to the ground in worship before the Lord, and says all the people got on the ground too. They were on their face before God in humility, honoring his name and believing his promises. And then there was praise in the valley. Well, somebody said that praise is an act of faith. It's faith in action. And I think that is so true. But there's praise then in the valley of victory. In 2 Chronicles 20, 22 through 26, it goes on to say this. I'm just going to fly through it here. Listen, I want you to hear this. At that very moment. Say, at that very moment. At that very moment. What did they do? Pull their sword from their sheath, get their battles out, or weapons out. He says, no, at that very moment, they began to sing. What a time. You know, we're having church. We're going to war. But they, at that very moment, they began to sing and to give praise to the Lord. And it caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. God caused confusion and enmity in the camp of the enemy that was once united, three armies against Israel. And there's confusion. When did it start? When we begin to pray. Can I tell you that I believe that when God's people begin to worship and praise, the enemy might be maybe in a spirit, demonic spirits here to try to stir up and try to divide. But when the worship comes and the atmosphere of the manifest presence of God comes, he has to flee. The enemy cannot stand to be in the presence of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, of a people who understand who God is and who they are in him. And they begin to fight among themselves. And Daniel chapter 9:23 has a similar verse where when Daniel was in trouble and he was fasting and praying, and the angel Gabriel came to him finally after he'd been praying for some time. And it says, and Gabriel said to Daniel, the moment that you began praying, a command was given, and now I am here to tell you what it was. For you are very precious to God. Listen carefully so that you can understand the meaning of your vision. Listen, at the very moment you started to pray, a command was given. Battles are not won on the battlefield, they're won on our knees. Battles are won because we call on the name of the Lord. Victory comes because we trust in him and his power. The power of faith in God's promises. 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, King Jehoshaphat says, have faith in the Lord your God, and you'll be upheld and be successful. So there's this incredible thing that happens. I'm going to finish the story this way. Incredible thing happens. Verse number 3 says, indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were, listen to this, as one. This is important. Trumpeters and singers were as one. I tell you, there's power in unity in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, that we are together, that we're in this leaky rowboat together, but God's got the patch materials. He's going to help us. And when they were one, to make one sound, to be heard, doing what? Praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, and they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That the house of the Lord, this is in 2 Chronicles 5:13, the house of the Lord, with the dedication of the temple, Solomon's temple, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. And this army that was going out, this army of Judah, when they went out on the battlefield to face their enemy, they arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, and all they could see was dead bodies lying on the ground as far as the eye could see, and not a single enemy had escaped. And King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days to gather it all up. And on the fourth day, what did they do? They gathered in the valley that used to be called the Valley of Fear. Now it's called the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. And the writer of this historical book says it is still there, and it's still called the Valley of Blessing to this day. Your valley of fear and despair and hopelessness, God wants to turn it into a valley of blessing. Whatever you do in every kind of trouble, call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. Believe his promises. Embrace his promises. Appropriate them by faith. Connect with other people of God and ask for help in prayer and intercession. And I believe God will restore and bless and rescue. Somebody say amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we're going to believe you for great and mighty things. The Lord, this COVID has caused presidents and kings and dictators to bow its knee. But Lord, the people of God only bow their knee to their king, to their God. We bow our knee to you because we know that you have the power, the breath of your mouth, to destroy by your anointing this virus, to stop it dead in its tracks. Lord, our nation is in great danger, but God, we call upon the name of the Lord for victory and for rescue. We call upon you for help and for mercy. We call upon you to help families, Lord, in our church, Lord, and in the church of Jesus Christ. We call on you to help, Lord God, because the enemy has come in like a flood. And Lord, demonically, under the anointing of the enemy, has tried to steal, kill, and destroy our homes and our families. But Lord, you have come to give life and that more abundantly. So God, release and unleash the power of your anointing to break the yoke of the enemy and to destroy his plans. Let it be as Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah, that when we look over the valley where the battle was, that there is strewn bodies, Lord, of the enemy laying there. The enemies that had caused terror and fear into our heart are now dead, destroyed by the word of your mouth. And God, we ask you this in Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord, as we come to the altars today, that the power of the Holy Spirit would be here in great power, great anointing, Lord, to do exceedingly above and beyond all that we can hope or imagine. And God, we pray this in the name of Jesus. And I pray the blessing of God, Lord, on those watching online, that they would find a place of prayer, an altar in their home or wherever they're praying, in their car or their backyard. God, that they would fall on their face before you and call on the name of the Lord. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.